Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
But tonight, I want to continue in the mini-series I've been doing, which I call One Way to Apostasy. You know, there's many ways to bring about apostasy. But we've been looking at the impact that so-called Christian magazines have been having. And, you know, through the course of this study, we're going to be looking at four different magazines that I've singled out as being some of the biggest contributors to the spiritual apostasy that's taking place in our day, and which I believe will ultimately bring about the great apostasy that's predicted in Scripture. Now, we've been looking at the first magazine, Charisma. And tonight, I want to look at really the last three charismas, and I don't know if I'll make it. I may not make it through the most recent two issues, but this is the last issue of which we'll spend quite a bit of time with, and this is from the April 2013 issue. As I say, there's two other issues of Charisma that are the most recent, or the, you know, the last, I think, September and October issues of 2017, but may not get around to them during this podcast. So, without further ado, the cover story of this particular April 2013 issue had a picture of Steve Hill, who is deceased. He used to be, I guess, best known as an evangelist, the evangelist of the Brownsville Revival. And he had actually two articles. One was called The Spiritual Avalanche That Could Kill Millions. And the other article, which I won't take a whole lot of time with either one, but the other one was The Seven Great Lies in the Church Today. Also, there were two other articles of note to me. One was How to Weigh Personal Prophecy, and the other one was Church Crisis. Mike Bickle of IHOP exposes the hyper-grace gospel. So the Brownsville Revival, as many of you know, was part of what I would call the impartation revivals that have really been all over the place, all over our country, all over the world. And these revivals, so-called, are supposed visitations of the Holy Spirit to certain areas for certain periods of time. And the Holy Spirit, of course, supposedly was in Toronto at a former Vineyard church, the Toronto Vineyard, which now is no longer called the Toronto Vineyard. But anyway, so the name of this, they decided to call this the Toronto Blessing, that this was a blessing, this impartation of the so-called Holy Spirit, which I think, of course, was a counterfeit. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, the way they would see it, you know, left the Toronto Blessing in Toronto, Canada, and its barnyard spirituality, I would call it, barking, growling, roaring, holy laughter, drunk in the spirit, slain in the spirit, you know, a real toxic spiritual buffet, and moved to Pensacola, Florida. So the Holy Spirit decided, well, I've done enough here, you know. My work is done here in Toronto. Now I'm going to move to Pensacola, Florida, you know, I guess to my winter home. You know, now I'm not claiming the Holy Spirit ever said that, because I don't think the Holy Spirit was involved in any of this, of course. But interestingly enough, it went from Toronto to Pensacola, Florida, in what was known as the Brownsville Revival. That was the Brownsville Church, I believe. It was Assemblies of God Church there. I guess that was the name of the church. Anyway, then after the Holy Spirit set up camp down there, the same bizarre type behavior began all over again. I actually had the opportunity to visit both sites to see firsthand the chaos for myself. And I remember that when I was in Toronto, the revival had pretty much abated. Like I said, the Holy Spirit had taken off, but I still wanted to go up and just survey the situation a bit. And the regular pastor was not there, and the assistant pastor who was speaking the night that I went had said, he made a comment, something to the effect of, you know, I don't care if you are, and he began to name a few different religious type groups, but what really jumped out at me is, you know, I don't care if you're this, I don't care if you're that, I don't care if you're a Mormon, but if you love Jesus, you know, then you're a Christian and you're welcome here and all that. And well, you know, surely we should welcome anybody that's in a false cult in the hopes that they'd come to know the truth. But the point is, this person was basically, it sounded like he had been fellowshipping with Joel Osteen down at Lakewood, at Lakewood Church there in Houston, since, of course, Joel has been noted for claiming that Mitt Romney was a Christian, you know, the Mormon, and that the Mormons themselves are all Christians because, well, they love Jesus. That's what they said. So anyway, I visited, actually in Pensacola, the Brownsville Revival twice. And, you know, I saw the same kind of creepy antics both times. Now, incidentally, I also visited England's version of one of the, of this, you know, this so-called impartation revival at Holy Trinity Brompton, which is where the Alpha Course originated. And the pastor there, I assume he's still the pastor there, Nicky Gumbel, kind of finished up the writings, or the you know, putting together the Alpha Course. Another man had actually started that. And I want to read a little about that to you from The Dangers of the Alpha Course, which is from the Deception in the Church website. This is a letter from someone writing to the Deception in the Church people about what was going on. He said, the foundations of the Alpha Course were originally laid in 1979 through the work of Charles Marnham. During his time at Holy Trinity Brompton in West London, which is one of the main proponents of the Toronto Blessing, and where Steve Hill, who's the subject of the cover story of this Charisma magazine, where Steve Hill of Brownsville picked up his ability to slay people in the spirit, he sought to devise a course, this man Charles Marnham, to look at the basics of the Christian faith in a way that would be helpful to new Christians. Okay, after Marnham's initial input, Alpha gradually evolved. One of the key figures in this and the main architect of the Alpha Course as it now exists is Nicky Gumbel, currently curate at Holy Trinity Brompton. Now this, of course, this letter was written in 1998, so it's a little bit older, obviously, 20 years old. It was through Gumbel's vision and work that Alpha grew to have the impact it has today. We're not really here to talk about Alpha Course today, but I just wanted to make that reference to Steve Hill picking up his ability to slay people in the spirit there before he came back to be involved in Pensacola in their impartation, their version of the impartation revival known as the Brownsville Revival. Alpha has some well-known champions and supporters, and this, of course, this is grievous, but it's a fact, and I won't name all the names, but and many of these, well, some of these are people in the UK, in England, but and I won't mention a couple of their names. You're not probably familiar with some of them, but Alistair McGrath of Wycliffe Hall, Oxford, and Regent College, he is a well-known champion and supporter of the Alpha Course. Luis Palau, the international evangelist. J.I. Packer of Regent College, popular with many evangelicals in America. The late John Wimber, who helped start the Vineyard Churches. R.T. Kendall of Westminster Chapel, and I'm familiar with him from some of his books, and some of the dubious endorsements that people he's endorsed, and then people that you would think wouldn't have endorsed someone involved in the type of things that he's involved with. But anyway, he's managed to, like many of these people, get a good reputation, a so-called good reputation amongst evangelicals who are now compromising the faith, unfortunately. Anyway, this person finishes his letter saying, interesting to say the least, beloved, let us discern the times. All right, and again, I read that mainly because of the point concerning Stephen Hill picking up the slain in the spirit. You know, this idea that the Holy Spirit travels to various locations to perform the spiritual chaos is also mentioned in a little booklet that I have from Lighthouse Trails Publishing called Slain in the Spirit, and which, of course, shows the unbiblical nature of this experience that many people are having or claiming to have one way or the other, or pretending to have in many cases, I think. But anyway, he says on page 11, page 12, slain in the spirit, is it a biblical practice? It says today's river proponents, and that's the term, the river, the idea that you're going to go down and jump in the river. You know, you're going to jump into one of these impartation revivals. That's the river that you're going to jump into so that you can, you know, get washed up in deception, basically. But anyway, today's river's opponents believe also that God moves in particular geographical locations, hence the necessity to get wherever God happens to be in order to get a touch from Him. Places like Toronto and Pensacola have become new medieval pilgrimage destinations, and in fact, people are encouraged to make the journey by many of the front-running river preachers and by their own pastors. And this despite Jesus's obvious counter to that line of thinking when he told the Samaritan woman that physical locations mattered little in the eyes of God. That's from John 4:21. Now, also, the same author shared a bit about his experience about his plunge in the river in a book called The Other Side of the River. And that's a book that he wrote, but I have a booklet called I Just Had a Vision by Kevin Reeves. And in that book, he references the book The Other Side of the River. And these are some of the comments that you find in the back cover of this. It says, if after having read this booklet you would like to know more information, you might consider obtaining this copy of The Other Side of the River, a compelling and deeply personal account of Kevin's spiritual plunge into a movement called the River, sometimes referred to as the River Revival, the Third Wave, or the Latter Rain. Oh, okay, so you got river, you got the rain. Hey, I never quite connected that till right this second. If that's a real connection, I don't know. Anyway, this movement is marked by bizarre manifestations, false prophecies, and esoteric revelations. Warnings of divine retribution keep many adherents in bondage. You know, like, you better not leave this movement, God will be upset with you. Afraid to speak out or even question those things that are taught and are witnessed to. Some of the topics covered are holy laughter, slain in the spirit practice, emphasis on the humanity of Jesus over his deity, experience versus scripture, repetitive chanting and singing, And he lists a few other that I won't mention here. So another good article. And now getting back to Steve Hill, this article I mentioned, The Seven Great Lies in the Church Today, of course it was written before he died, and they have a little note prefacing this article. And this is what it says. Most charisma readers remember Steve Hill as the fiery evangelist from the Brownsville Revival who has since continued to win countless souls for Jesus around the world. But what many readers don't realize is that Hill only recently came out of a 3-year battle with melanoma. During that time, he received a prophetic vision warning the church of an impending spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. The following article on Deception in the Church is part of this timely message now delivered in his latest book, Spiritual Avalanche. Remember, this was 2013. I think what you need to recognize, this article on deception of the church, it didn't contain any regrets, or I don't remember any regrets by Steve Hill of any of the false prophecies, unbiblical teachings, and behavior that took place at the Brownsville Revival. So you have to take, you know, with a grain of salt, or a block of salt is the expression that I would probably use, when someone like Steve Hill is warning you about dangers and deceptions and lies in the church today, I take it with a grain of salt. Now, what's interesting, of course, the concerns that he has in this article, the seven things he lists, I would also have a concern about those same seven things. But anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Maybe his illness forced him to turn to God and to consider truth instead of continuing in the same deceptive path that he was on. He died, I believe, From what I remember, it was around October, I think, of 2014. You know, so you know, maybe 6 months or longer after this magazine, this article was written. I'm not sure. It says, I don't think he ever publicly renounced his involvement with the Brownsville Revival, as I mentioned before. But of course, charisma itself has to still be taken, you know, regardless of whether he ever did. And I'm not aware that he would have. I'm pretty sure I would have heard of that, about that, and you probably would have too. But regardless, even if he had made a public renouncement of that whole mess, you still have to take charisma with a block of salt, since this same issue, as I mentioned, has an article from Mike Bickle, who is the former Kansas City, I'll say, false prophet. They call themselves the Kansas City Prophets, and the present head of IHOP, the International House of Prayer, which I might add is also a non-profit organization, meaning our spelling of prophet being P-R-O-P-H-E-T as opposed to profit as in financial profits. I would say they're into prophets, but they're not into true prophecy. They're into prophets, they're into false prophets, but they're not into true prophecy. So anyway, interestingly enough, this issue, the same issue, also has the article I mentioned earlier on how to weigh personal prophecy by a guy named Wayne Drain. And I'll mention a little bit more about that in just a second. I want to, I think it might be useful to just show you what I'm saying now. In his article, he mentions the seven lies, an overemphasis on prosperity. Well, isn't that interesting, since prosperity teachers and the type of people that Hill would run with would be emphasizing prosperity themselves. An exaggerated view of grace, antinomianism, which basically means against law. In other words, you know, overemphasizing grace to the point of sort of a spiritual anarchy when it comes to sin, personal sin, etc., and holiness. Deification of man, number four. Challenging the authority of the word. Number six, rejecting hell. And number seven, universal reconciliation. The idea that, you know, everybody, there is no hell, that it's universalism is basically what he's talking about. So all of these, really almost all of these, would be something we should all be concerned about. But as I will mention again later, false teachers often teach a lot of truth to float the lie. I mean, Satan comes as an angel of light. What does that mean? Well, it means that he comes like an angel. He comes with lots of truth and lots of, you know, there's such a, it's so much more the ability to deceive is, it comes so much easier when a person is bringing lots of truth and mixing error with truth. But like I say, I'll mention a little bit more about that later. But then on the other hand, like I say, perhaps he had a change somewhere along the line. Maybe he never did vocalize regrets over being involved with the things he was involved with. Now, let me just quickly, the other article, How to Weigh Personal Prophecy by Wayne Drain. He says that, you know, there's a subsection of the article. The heading is Wanted, Discernment. So in this issue, you know, we're hearing about lies in the church and deception in the church that Hill's talking about. Now this man's talking about how we need discernment. And a couple quotes from the article. I quickly learned there's a potential danger in personal prophecy gone goofy if it goes unchecked by wise and discerning leaders. Well, I would just have to say, duh. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Charisma Magazine having a guy talking about how we need discernment. Well, one way to have better discernment is don't read Charisma Magazine. But anyway, he talks about the extremes of rejecting prophecy, personal prophecy altogether, etc., because of, no doubt, he believes in personal prophets for today. I don't, at least not literally people speaking for God, because, you know, we do have the canon of Scripture, the 66 books of God's Word, to tell us all we need to know. Now, you know, can God work in some case where somebody they're not able to understand the scripture because they're temporarily impaired because of the whatever, you know, can God do something in some prophetic way, a warning of some sort? I wouldn't rule that out at all. But I'm just saying, when somebody says, I'm a prophet, listen to me, and this is the word for you today, the personal prophecy coming from my mouth, from God, from the throne room to you, you know, I'd be very leery of that, very, very leery. The Bible says test all things, but I would really test, you know, I'd had real concern if somebody wants to give you a personal prophecy. I'd stick with the Word of God. Let God's Word and His prophecy meet your need in all of that. But he did quote that part of the scripture that he quoted, test all things. What an important scripture that is. Hold on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Test all things. Okay, now, moving on here. Let's see now. Okay, I'm sorry. The Hill's article listed the seven lies. Now, the Mike Bickle article is the one I wanted to get to. Church Crisis, Mike Bickle Exposes the Hyper-Grace Gospel. Well, we're not even going to look at that article, but as I mentioned, the fact that charisma is trying to make itself out in this article, in this issue, as a almost like a discernment issue, you know, when it comes to Mike Bickle trying to do discernment ministry, I would just maybe quote from Luke 4:23, Physician, heal thyself. Because, of course, Bickle and the IHOP people and the Kansas City false prophets have many false prophecies on record. They've gone, you know, on record as a false, as a non-profit organization, like I say. Now, if this past charisma issue comes across as a discernment issue, rest assured their most recent issues, which I probably won't get to today, as I say, demonstrate very little has changed, as people like Joyce Meyer, Mike Bickle, Che On, etc., still grace their pages with their false teachings. I'll say a little bit more about Joyce Meyer and Che On earlier, later. Now, this is the problem with mixing truth, as I mentioned earlier, mixing truth with error. It brings about confusion. We know the Bible tells us that the Satan is the author of confusion. And I remember Chuck Smith used to say, you know, did you know, he'd say something like, did you know that a false teacher teaches a lot of truth? Or a false teacher teaches truth, a lot of truth? And you think, what? and then he'd say, yeah, he may teach 90% truth just to float the errors and the lies and the false, you know, teachings or heresies that he's wanting to deceive you with. And that's absolutely true. There's no rule book, you know, that Satan has to go by where God said, now, Satan, you know, you can only have 95% lies and 5% truth, you know, so that everybody can know you're a deceiver and everybody will know that you're an angel of light, you know, coming to deceive. No, he doesn't have to abide by that. God gives us his scripture and he tells us to test all things, to be discerning. And so we need to do that. We need to test all things. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be biblically literate and develop discernment and pray for God's help in this area, because especially in these last perilous days that we're living in. Now, concerning someone like Steve Hill, people will often be in denial about, you know, about him or any other hero that they might get into. You know, we all can fall prey to hero worship, and a lot of people thought very highly of this man, this fiery evangelist that was at the Brownsville. But I have an article here from the sermonindex.net, and it's discussing Michael Brown. Of course, I think I mentioned him earlier. Oh, no, I haven't gotten around to Michael Brown yet. But Michael Brown defends much of the New Apostolic Reformation teachers and that whole movement. And Steve Hill was on his program some time ago called Line of Fire, Warnings of False Teaching in the Body of Christ, which, of course, I just mentioned, the article from Charisma there. And someone on the thread here wrote, this is a must hear. Please go to Michael Brown's homepage and listen to this timely and stirring warning from evangelist and revivalist Steve Hill, who, in parentheses, mentored by none other than Leonard Ravenhill and David Wilkerson. It is a warning of a coming spiritual avalanche of false teaching. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, that which you're bringing So I guess he was partially right in his prophecy. He said in that article, you know, he had a personal prophecy that God gave him of this terrible time of deception that was coming. Anyway, on down in the thread, he says, someone says, though Steve Hill has been tied into bad groups of Christendom, it sounds very clear the Lord is bringing him clear against all of the heresy and problems as he is addressing them passionately head on. Praise the Lord for this brother. Like I say, but if he never acknowledged his past involvement in this stuff, then I can't really praise the Lord for him. And much confusion comes as a matter of that. And anyway, someone else says, yes, brother, Mr. Hill has been connected to some dubious groups of charismatic Christendom in the past, but I do think his heart is in the right place. I also think that being a spiritual child of men as Leonard Ravenhill and David Wilkerson has kept him from wandering too far astray before finding the right path back. We also have to remind ourselves that Mr. Ravenhill was very open as regards to different Christian denominations and groups. Just the fact that Mr. Ravenhill in his later years was connected to John Wimber might puzzle some believers. We need to have a generous attitude towards Christians who differ with our perspective without compromising truth. I think that was the attitude of Leonard, and I am sure that it is also Steve. So you see this attempt to defend, and I don't know all the details of Ravenhill, you know, or Wilkerson's. Well, and there is a little bit more that I can say if I have time here. In the Brownsville response to a Pensacola News Journal, when, you know, this chaotic time of their so-called revival was taking place, one of the facts that they gave to refute this article, which they didn't do a very good job of, is that the fact when David Wilkerson, the founder of Teed and Challenge, who has known Steve Hill for more than 20 years, learned that the journal was accusing Steve Hill of being a phony who falsified his testimony, he immediately responded with this letter. Steve Hill was a debilitated, stoned addict when he first surrendered his life to Christ. He became an active worker with our ministry, helping rescue other addicts and alcoholics. Though many of his old friends had died, he related well, and it goes on and on. He's always been diligent and faithful. His story of deliverance from drug addiction and crime is a true testimony to the power of the gospel of Christ. One thing I know for sure, Steve Hill is not a phony. That may be, but Steve Hill was involved with a phony revival. I have no doubt about that. So you see, you know, the people, and they would try to use someone like David Wilkerson, you know, who was admired, you know, for a lot of good that he did. He spoke out against a lot of this bad stuff. But anyway, we can't trust too much in men. I think that's the point. Now, Michael Brown also had a book called From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire, which defended all of this type of impartation. He was kind of like the apologist for the Pensacola revival. Now, I'm running out of time. Next week, I want to look at that Pensacola News Journal article so you can learn a little bit more about slain in the spirit and some of the stuff that was going on. So God bless you all. Have a prosperous new year and join me next week. God bless. Good night.